بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، سلام على المرسلين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وانزل المقد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة، صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم، وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء، وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته، واجزه عنا ما هو أهله، واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته، وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وآل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات الزاكية لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ایک و دوسرے میں ہم نے شروع کیا تھا، اللهم صل وسلم على نبي الرحمة وآله، اللهم صل وسلم على نبي الرحمة وآله، اللهم صل وسلم على نبي الرحمة وآله، اللهم صل وسلم على نبي الرحمة وآله. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، ہی واز برہان، ہی واز اللہ عز و جل ریزڈ ہم ایز اے پروف، ایز این ایویڈنس، اینڈ تھرو ہم پیپل کڈ ریکگنائز اینڈ دا ٹروتھ، اینڈ بائی سیئنگ ہم پیپل وڈ انڈرسٹینڈ اینڈ ریئلائز دیٹ اللہ انڈیڈ از اے کریئٹر آف دی ہیونز اینڈ دی ارتھ، اینڈ اللہ عز و جل انڈیڈ ہی از دا ٹرو لارڈ. So people recognized Allah through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So burhan, evidence. I said that when I said the burhan, evidence, the proof. Okay. So he was the convincing proof, the evidence that Allah azza wa jal indeed is the true Lord. He is the creator. So people became convinced that Islam is a true religion by simply seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one way of strengthening our iman is through studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Durood Sharif isn't something trivial. It's not something insignificant. It's not something which is from the extras. This is something which is the core of our deen. And in order to strengthen our iman, we need to spend time thinking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we started talking about Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you remember a few weeks back, in fact maybe now it's been a few months, we started talking about Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I think today, briefly, I'm going to just read the statements that reflect our understanding of Ahlul Bayt. Who are Ahlul Bayt? اہل بیت کو ہم کیا سمجھتے ہیں؟ تو ہم اہل بیت کے بارے میں ہماری سوچ، ہمارا عقیدہ، ہمارا تصور اور ہماری ان کے بارے میں جو نقطۂ نظر ہے وہ کیا ہے، تو وہ ان سٹیٹمنٹس میں ہے. اینڈ دس از سم تھنگ دیٹ دس از واٹ وی بلیو اباؤٹ اہل بیت نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. دس از سمری آف آلموسٹ ایوری تھنگ. وی ٹاک اباؤٹ ادر بٹس. وی ٹاک اباؤٹ دی وائفز آف دی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. لاسٹ ویک آئی تھنک آئی سٹارٹڈ ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ دی ڈاٹرز آف دی پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ایک تو مصیبت یہ ہے کہ اس وقت جو ہے نا وہ کبھی یہ میچ ہو جاتا ہے تو پھر ذات لوگوں کے لیے آنا بھی مشکل. بٹ آئی ہوپ دیٹ دا میسج از گیٹنگ اکراس. سو مسلمز وی بلیو دیٹ دا فیملی آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از دا بیسٹ فیملی آن ارتھ. یہ ہماری انڈرسٹینڈنگ ہے. پہلی بات، دا فیملی آف رسول اللہ از دا بیسٹ فیملی آن ارتھ. دا ہاؤس ہولڈ ویئر دا پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم واز بورن، دے ور دا بیسٹ ہاؤس ہولڈ آن دا پلانٹ. This is something that's mentioned in a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal placed me in the best of times, and Allah azza wa jal has placed me in the best tribe, and Allah azza wa jal has raised me in within the best tribe, the best clan, and within the best clan, the best household. So Allah azza wa jal chose for him, because Allah is the creator, and the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then his descendants, his progeny, his children, the offspring, they're all the best people, they are the best family on earth, the best household. یہ ہمارا ان کے بارے میں ہم سمجھتے ہیں ان کو. Number two, they deserve utmost respect, kindness and love from the believers. یہ بھی ہماری duty ہے. They deserve utmost respect, kindness and love from the believers. It's a duty of the believers to treat the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with love, with respect, and with kindness. So you don't pick fights with them. Okay, you do not abuse them. You treat them with respect. If something small happens, then try to ignore. They are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, out of courteousness, show courteous, be courteous to them, be gentle with them. Be polite with them. Be respectful with them. Acknowledge and understand that they are the descendants of the Nabi of Allah, who is the best of mankind and who is the best of Allah's creation. So they have a title, they have something very special in them, which others do not have. Okay. It is, number three, it is a duty of the ummah to look after them and support them. Their poor should not be supported with zakah, instead gifts should be extended to them. So it's our duty. They used to have a share in the public treasury, an allocated share, 1/5 of the fifth, okay, which is about 4%. 4% of the public treasury, as mentioned in the Quran, is reserved for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Mal Fayt especially. Okay, so whatever gets collected, at least 4% of it, especially through spoils of war, through other kind of incomes, the income, and then again there's detail, but from it, which is about 4%, it comes to about 4% of the total yani funds were reserved for the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now that system is no longer, unfortunately, that system is no longer available. That system's gone. So now it's just like it was their responsibility to build masajid. It was their responsibility to pay the imams. It was their responsibility, public treasury. They had to allocate funds to promote Islamic education, Quranic education, Sunnah education, and other kind of public welfare tasks. Now, the system's gone. So what happens is that Muslims themselves come together. They build masajid. They build madaris, they build Islamic schools, they build Islamic institutions, they support the ulama, they support huffaz, they support muadhineen, they support the Islamic activities. So just like we do everything else, it is our duty to identify the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and look after them, take care of them, support them, not through zakah. Zakah can't be spent on the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but through gifts and other donations. But now, next, they are normal human beings and are not innocent, and they do not receive divine revelations. They are not in some way, it's not that just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he just as he spoke to Allah azza wa jal directly, just like he used to receive instructions from the Almighty Allah directly, descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do they also receive it? No. No confusion. There's no ifs and buts. There's no confusion. Rasulullah is the sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger. With his demise, the revelation, divine revelation, stopped. It ceased. The Quran is the final book. Nobody, doesn't matter who they may be, even the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even she does not have the authority to overwrite the Quran, because the Quran is the final word of Allah azza wa jal. So Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha did not receive any divine instructions from Allah azza wa jal. So it's not that she used to get particular instructions like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received, or Ali radiallahu anhu, or for that sense Sayyidina Hassan or Hussein radiallahu anhuma, or anyone else from amongst their descendants. Nobody receives such divine instructions like a Nabi would receive. Other than that, having dreams and other divine inspiration, ordinary believers get it. They are, mashallah, the pious, they get even better. So in that sense, they have good dreams. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them through other means. This may happen, but not like direct wahi and divine instruction, revelation, just like it used to happen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But even through whatever the understanding that they have no authority, and it's not possible to change or alter any of the established laws of Sharia because of what they say. Okay? If they do interpret something like other mujtahideen did. If they interpret a law, then obviously they have the authority. If they learn it, if they are qualified, then if an imam sahab, Morana sahab sits in the masjid and can teach tafsir, can Ahlul Bayt not? If they've studied the Quran, if they have the authority, if they've had their formal training, if they've had such an approval, then by all means they can do the same. If there were fuqaha amongst them, like Imam Jafar, Sayyidina Jafar al-Sadiq rahimahullah, if Imam Hanifa rahimahullah can do ijtihad, if Imam Shafi'i can do ijtihad, and if Imam Malik can do ijtihad, and if Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah imam can do ijtihad, then why can't Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah, why can he not do ijtihad? He can do ijtihad as well. And he was a very learned scholar. And others like him, Zayd radiyallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Ali radiyallahu anhu, he was a very learned scholar. So these people, they could do ijtihad. That's not something that that's not something that we deny. They could do ijtihad. The learned scholars from Ahlul Bayt, their ijtihad is as valid as other people ijtihad. Maybe we would show more inclination towards it in some way if it can be authentically be transmitted to us, and if there isn't any kind of fabrication. Because what happened, some people, some ghulat, some extremists, what they did, they made up things themselves, and then they just they made false claims that this was something that they had received from the imam. Because it can't be authentically, authenticity, it can't be traced back to those imams. Hence, it's we take it with a pinch of salt. We exercise caution in that regard. And I'm saying this because people say, if you have mahabbat with Ahl Bayt, why do you follow Imam Abu Hanifa and not Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq? Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq was a great imam as well. And they say, because we have love for them, we are Ja'faris. And you don't have love for Ahl Bayt, so you're a Hanafi. So if you had regard for Ahl Bayt, and you would, because Ja'far al-Sadiq rahmahullah, he was of that same caliber, and very great imam, they say in some way our understanding is superior to yours. We say to them, subhanallah, we would have loved to do that if Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahmahullah had such kind of devoted students like Abu Hanifa rahmahullah, Allah granted it to him. Because they preserved everything that Imam rahmahullah did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that Imam Hanif rahimahullah did in terms of ijtihad, it was formally documented. Not in one kitab. Imam Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani rahimahullah wrote 6 kitabs, one after the other. And he was a direct student of Imam Hanif rahimahullah. And his books were given to the fuqaha and the senior jurisprudence and the judiciary at the time. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah was the chief justice at the time. And he was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So whatever the principles that they established, they were verified, they were examined, they were debated over, and authentically everything can be proven back to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. If similar was done for Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah, we would have honored that too. But unfortunately that is not the case. And again, as we said, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah as a mujtahid, he earned a lot of respect, but sometimes a person is great, but unfortunately his students are not. The man himself is second to none, but unfortunately his students aren't as such. Somebody had said to Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali, the fourth Khalifa, somebody said to him, what's wrong with you? You're a Khalifa. And when Umar was Khalifa and when Abu Bakr was Khalifa, we were winning battles all across the world everywhere. Every week we would win, we would take over, we would conquer a city. And with you, we can't do nothing. And what did Sayyidina Ali reply? He said, they were able to do such great tasks because they had advisors like us, like me. And unfortunately, I don't have advisors like they had and supporters like they had. This is why I'm not able to do things, the great things, like great tasks like they were able to. So if you don't have great students, and if people, they say, or for Farsi, there's a phrase, they say, Pira Nami, which means that it's not the peers that fly, it's the murids that make them go high. So it's not the peers that fly, murids, they make their peers up go high. Because they take his instructions, they implement, and then they become living messengers for the people around, and then people appreciate the teachings of the Shaykh, and they are able to benefit from it. So unfortunately, Sayyidina Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq rahimahullah did not have as great students like Imam Hanifa rahimahullah had. So this is the reason. Otherwise, the imams from Ahl Bayt, they are, mashallah, they were great. Some of them were great, even greater. They're top. But it is important to bear in mind that they are human beings. They are not innocent. Like a human being can make a mistake, they could make a mistake too. They could make errors of judgment. They could make errors of judgment. It's not that they were not like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about whom Allah says, مَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't say anything of his own accord. Everything that he says comes from Allah the Almighty. This was specially reserved for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not for Ahl Bayt. Okay? And then, so this is something. And next is, the Ahl Bayt are expected to show more devotion to the Qur'an and Sunnah than average Muslim. They are Ahl Bayt. Your standard should be higher. Your standard should be higher. If you start drinking, if you start gambling, If you start doing other things that are haram, what kind of messages are you sending? If you yourself are not showing any value and regard to the teachings of your ancestor Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then don't you think that you have failed in your duty? So it is expected from Ahlul Bayt to show more devotion to the Quran and Sunnah than average Muslims. If they start cursing people, then obviously people for nothing, for no reason, then that's not really, that's like your ancestor, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made some effort, and you're trying to now undo it. This is not what is expected from them. And then next, they are accountable before Allah like other Muslims. They will have hisab on the day of judgment. They will have hisab on the day of judgment like other people. So their good deeds will be accepted, and if they made mistakes, they'll be held to account for it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said himself, he said, Oh Fulan, he would say in the mornings, save yourselves from hellfire. I won't be able to rescue you. غَيْرَ أَنَّ لِي رَحْمًا سَأَبُلُّهَا بِبِلَالِهَا I would, as because I'm an next of kin, I have a kinship with you, I'll try to honor as much as I can. Otherwise, before Allah, nobody would be able to help anyone and support anyone. So protect you, wake up and protect yourselves from the hellfire. So that is the next statement, that they are accountable before Allah like other Muslims. And this is why you see the great Imams like Imam Jafar al-Sadiq rahimahullah, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, in terms of khawf and khashyat, they were exemplary. And next is, they have pious and God-fearing among them, as well as sinful and disobedient. They are not all angels. Okay, so some Ahlul Bayt are great, and other people, despite being from Ahlul Bayt, you would notice that their conduct isn't really exemplary. In fact, often falls beyond exemplary state. They can commit sins, they are human beings. They can make errors of judgment. They can even do, you might find someone who's Ahlul Bayt, but he drinks. You might find someone who's Ahlul Bayt, but unfortunately he's involved in other, you may even find some of them be mushriks and kafirs. It's possible. Allah says, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. And he was an uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So being Ahlul Bayt does not mean that in everything they become masters. They need to comply with the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah to become leaders in that sense. And again, they have to be above others. As I said again, month of Ramadan comes, the masjid is packed with Ahlul Bayt, and none of them is a hafiz. And one student comes from outside and is a hafiz of Quran, who do you think will lead Taraweeh prayer? Hafizah, because he's got the capacity. So there are, everybody's Ahlul Bayt, but they do not know Masail, they didn't study. They did not study Tafsir, they did not get Ijazat in Tafsir, they did not get Ijazat in Hadith. And another Alim comes in, who had the Ijazah formerly from the Mashaykh, who will take the member, the pulpit, the Alim, the learned scholar. So being Ahlul Bayt is one element of virtue, and is something very amazing. It's not nothing trivial. But it does not make anyone superhuman. And it does not mean that thereafter they have no responsibility of fixing their conduct. They do need to fix their conduct, and they need to be... So you would have pious and God-fearing among them, as well as sinful and disobedient. The religious authorities of the Muslim Ummah have always supported Ahlul Bayt. This is also very important. In the history of Islam, Ahlul Ilm, the learned scholars, and the religious authorities, they were always mindful of this respectable status of Ahlul Bayt. The tragedy that happened in Karbala, Ahlul Ilm has got nothing to do with it. They all condemned it in totality. So sometime in the episodes in history where we see the rulers being cruel to Ahlul Bayt, then that's not the mainstream of Islam. The ulama were in a position to the rulers at the time. They were opposing the rulers, and they had distanced themselves from the rulers, and they would go and they would admonish the rulers that you can't do this to Ahlul Bayt, as much as they were capable of. But there were occasions when they were ruling with an iron fist. What's happening in Saudi Arabia now? Ab Saudi Arabia mein jaake Palestine ke liye people, I was just told last week, some ulama were here, and one of them mentioned that he mentioned by name, he said he was at Umrah, and they were carrying a bag with a sticker of Palestine flag on it, and they were taken to police station for 5 hours. So when an alim sends a tweet, and because of that tweet, they come and they arrest him and they put him behind bars for infinity. Subhanallah. So in that kind of climate, who can do anything? So some rulers were really ruthless. Even then, despite the ruthlessness, the ulama, in totality, Ahlul Ilm, they supported Ahlul Bayt. So if something bad reached them, it was because of the cruelty of some such rulers, but it's got nothing to do with the mainstream ummah. Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, 100% stood with Ahlul Bayt. Malik, rahimahullah. Shafi'i even said, don't blame me for having muhabbat for Ahlul Bayt, because if you're accusing me of being a Shia, just because I praise Ahlul Bayt, if you accuse me of being Shia simply because I have love for Ahlul Bayt, then let it do. If you say what you like, I'll accept that title as well, but I can never abandon muhabbat of Ahlul Bayt. إِن كَانَ رِفْضًا حُبُّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ فَلْيَشْهَدِ الثَّقَلَانِ أَنِّي رَافِضِي. And then the last one is very important one. Allah will raise amongst Ahlul Bayt a leader who will rescue the ummah in its hour of the most dire need. Near the time when ummah will be struggling, Allah Azza wa Jal will raise a leader amongst Ahlul Bayt upon whose his hands Allah Azza wa Jal will grant salvation to ummah, victory to ummah, and the ummah will be able to restore the glory of his past days, and there'll be unity will take place at the hands of this man, this person whom Allah will raise from amongst Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when this happens, everybody has to support that man whose name is Muhammad al-Mahdi. Al-Mahdi. So inshallah, we'll talk about Imam Mahdi rahimahullah radiyallahu anhu at another occasion. But this is our understanding of Ahlul Bayt, and this is why we discuss this with so much detail and so frequently. And inshallah, as I said, we'll talk more about it later. Jazakullahu khair. Thank you so much. Gee, your question, bhai. وہاں تو اتقاکم ہے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تو yes, یعنی اہل بیت کی تو وہ یعنی اسلام تو اس کی مساوات کا قائل ہے. Is that what you're saying? I'll let you finish. Okay. You read the ayah. Okay. No, this is why I mentioned about 7, 8, 9 points. I said they deserve our respect, they deserve kindness, they deserve acknowledgement and appreciation and help. That's it. After that, we follow the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, the established principles of the Quran and Sunnah. If someone from Ahlul Bayt fails to match those standards that are set in the Quran and Sunnah, then he or she will be viewed as a guilty person. If somebody from Ahlul Bayt doesn't pray namaz, then what would you say? Do you think that he's okay? No, he's not okay. He's committing major sin by not praying namaz. One of them doesn't pray, doesn't fast. We would say he has demolished one of the five pillars of Islam. One of them does not pay zakah. They do not take zakah, but they pay zakah. So if they have means, then they must pay zakah. They must perform hajj, and they must support the deen, the efforts of deen, because it doesn't mean that they are above the law. In the eyes of law, we are all equal. We are all the same. However, just because they have this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that show mahabbat to my children. He asked for it. Show mahabbat to my children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed some barakah in Ahlul Bayt. Some barakah in Ahlul Bayt is just like, this is something, all equal, all places are equal, but the masjid is special. Does that make sense? Masjid is special, demands respect. Everybody is the same, but an alim, a hafiz of Quran, he is one of the symbols of Allah. You be respectful to Huffaz. You show respect to Hafiz of Quran. You show respect to ulama. It does not make them special, but they demand respect because they have something which other people do not have. But in the eyes of law, they're all the same. In the eyes of law, the Hafizab, he cannot take someone's property without his consent. An alim can't take someone's property without his consent. And Ahlul Bayt cannot take anyone's property without their consent. So the rules and the ahkam, they apply to Ahlul Bayt in the same way. But other than that, we are taught, we are asked to show kindness to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because their ancestors made huge sacrifices for deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam probably realized that this ummah, the rulers, they would have this insecurity against Ahlul Bayt. Our rulers, which most of the rulers were, they had this insecurity that people had love for Ahlul Bayt, and they thought that the Ahlul Bayt always posed a risk to their authority. So they wanted to keep them checked. Just like you can say, I can give you some example of Israel at the moment, is trying to keep Palestinians in check. They are unnecessary usage of force against Palestinians, because they are so scared that these guys, if we allow them to live in peace, there'll be an uprising. So they do not give them a single moment of peace. For the past 48 days of war, they constantly had the drones, the buzzing sound overheard. Can you live with that sound for 48 days? And during the night, they would keep on throwing those flame kind of bombs or whatever you call. So the skyline would be lit bright. So they wouldn't get this darkness that they need to rest during the night. They just wanted to cause maximum pain to them. So this is their attitude. And maybe some rulers, they had similar attitude because they were so insecure against Ahlul Bayt. The atrocities that were committed to Ahlul Bayt, some of them are heartbreaking. And those ruthless people did it just because they were insecure. So the ulama, condemned all that. The scholars condemned all that. This is why many scholars distance themselves from such rulers. So now, if people try and accuse Ahlul Sunnah of that, but this is, I think, I've just explained the bits. So in terms of law, in terms of legal responsibility, we are all the same. It's just something special that Rasulullah ﷺ asked us, is treat the Ahlul Bayt with respect, support them, take care of them. They are being targeted by insecure rulers. You show some compassion, you show some support and kindness. Take it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Musaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ghafiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja'a indi min amali. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انصر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أحوال أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا فإنك أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك يا الله ہمارے بیٹھنا قبول فرما یہ ٹوٹا پھوٹا کہنا سننا قبول فرما یا اللہ ہمارے حال پہ رحم فرما ہمارے بچوں کے ہماری نسلوں کے دین ایمان کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ آنے والے نسلوں کے لیے جو فتنے اٹھ رہے ہیں تو ان بچوں کی ان نسلوں کی حفاظت فرما ان غریبوں پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ ہمیں دین ایمان پہ ثابت قدم رکھ اور موت سے پہلے فتنوں میں پھنسنے سے بچا اور دین ایمان پہ زندہ رکھ اور اسی کلمہ پڑھتے ہوئے لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ اے اللہ ہمارا خاتمہ ہو اے اللہ تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے اللہ مرنے سے پہلے ہمیں بخش دے قبر میں ہم پر رحم کرنا حشر میں ہمارے دن ہمارے لیے آسانی کرنا اے ارحم الراحمین اپنے غصے اور اپنے عذاب سے ہماری حفاظت فرما ہماری غلطیاں معاف فرما ہمارے گناہ معاف فرما ہمیں حق کی پہچان عطا فرما اے اللہ برے کھرے کھوٹے میں تمیز نصیب فرما اور اے اللہ تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے حق کو اپنانے اور امبریس کرنے کی توفیق دے اور شر اور برائی سے ہماری اور ہماری نسلوں کی حفاظت فرما ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنہ وفی الآخرۃ حسنہ وقنا عذاب النار وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلق سیدنا محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین آمین.